WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a week after Hurricane Helene, more than 215 are confirmed dead across six states, including Georgia. Former President Trump today visiting an emergency operations center in Columbia County alongside Governor Brian Kemp. ABC's Selena Wang says it's the first meeting for both after fallout over the 2020 election.
They were there embracing and shaking hands, and Trump did heap some praise on Governor Kemp for his reaction and response to the hurricane. And it was just months ago, I was actually at a rally, a Trump rally in Georgia, where he was railing and ripping into Governor Kemp. He still holds a grudge against Kemp for failing to help in his attempts to overturn the 2020 election results.
Vice President Kamala Harris holds a rally in Michigan today. The U.S. adding 254,000 jobs in September, beating expectations. President Biden touting that job growth. And after a three-day strike, 40,000 union dock workers back on the job at more than a dozen ports. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is taking over the investigation into Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney. Dinney moved Wausau's only ballot drop box out of the public's reach 2 weeks ago to make a point. Former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney endorsing Democrat Kamala Harris for president Thursday in Ripon, the birthplace of the Republican Party.
Liz Cheney really is a leader who puts country above party and above self, a true patriot.
Cheney is calling for patriotism ahead of partisanship, calling Donald Trump not fit to be president.
I have never voted for a Democrat. But this year, I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Trump campaigns in Juneau, Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. An overnight shelter-in-place order in a Sawyer County village was lifted early Friday morning. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, authorities sent out a shelter-in-place order overnight in the area of State Road 48 and County Road C in the village of Exeland. Just before 6 a.m., the Sheriff's Office announced that the shelter-in-place order had been lifted, but they would maintain a police presence in the area. Sheriff's Office officials did not say why the shelter-in-place order was issued, but will share more information when it's available. One of the suspects in a violent home invasion in Barron County last year has been sentenced to prison. According to court documents, Ryan Charpentier of Minnesota was sentenced to 5 years in prison and ordered to pay over $16,000 in restitution for his role in the incident. Charpentier and Ricardo Antonio Dominguez were both convicted of tying up the 70-year-old man who owned the home and tasing him before stealing $13,000 in cash and other valuables. Dominguez will be sentenced later this month. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Heartbreak in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers went into the ninth inning with a lead yesterday, but a three-run home run by Pete Alonso ended Milwaukee's season. Manager Pat Murphy said he is disappointed for his players after a great season.
I love this team. You know, I love them. I'll never be able to duplicate 2024. And it didn't end the way we wanted to, and you know, tragically, actually, you know, it felt like it. And it felt like a tragedy.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last week to the Minnesota Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love will be another week healthier this week after some struggles last week.
It's hard to go out there and when you just don't have a lot of practice or you have a lot of time off and expect to be at the top of your game.
Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and not as cold tonight, lows in the low 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, few storms possible in the late afternoon and evening. Breezy with a high in the low 70s. Cooler, breezy, and mid-50s Sunday. Currently at 64 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Greg Bach and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, you ever name any of your vehicles?
I have a Jeep Wrangler right now, and I named it Natural Disaster.
I've been driving Wranglers for forever here.
Right, I'll just see you guys later.
Do you duck anybody?
I've got the duck it bucket in the back.
What
I'm ready to go.
Are you talking about? Hey, where are my Honda Insights at?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, the very latest on a close congressional race between Becca Cook and constantly caustic Congressman Derek Van Orden.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. You can be a big part of this big program, 855-752-4842. Have a huge show for you today. It's amazing how these things work out, Jess. We're going to get into lots of topics. New jobs numbers are out today. There has been a resolution on the port strike. We talked about that earlier this week. There's some back and forth as to who is doing what with FEMA. Is there any money left in the cabinet? We're going to go there as well. And we have some guests joining us as well. And Egan Wachau. Sorry, Anne, we'll figure that one out. Wisconsin Conservation Voices. She's going to come in studio with us, talk about the efforts of the Wisconsin Conservation Voices in this election season. Also, the Ag Secretary, Tom Vilsack, former governor of Iowa. He's going to join us in the happy hour at 5:30. Lots of topics to get to, so let's start out. First, I know this isn't, you know, sports talk live, but I got to tell you, that game yesterday, the Brewers, I was so hopeful. I was so hopeful, man. They got two back-to-back home runs, man. I was thinking, this is great. We're going to do it. We're going to beat the Mets. And then that ninth inning came, and then that didn't happen. So, the Milwaukee Brewers season is dead. Long live the Green Bay Packers season. But if you care, if you're into the baseball, perhaps you can, you know, root for some underdogs. My Detroit Tigers are taking on the Cleveland Guardians. I think that five-game series starts tomorrow. So if you're looking for your fix, you want to root for the underdog, and who doesn't?
Always.
Maybe check out the Tigers. You know, I got the Detroit D tattoo and all. So that's my team.
You?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, I spent a little.
That's what that is.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Oh.
Are you okay? I know you're a Brewers fan. How you holding up today?
I'm a little sad.
Yeah, a little sad. It was a tough one. And it was so much fun. I was out last night with our pal, Maggie Dawn, and some friends hanging out. One of the local establishments. We're outside in the courtyard. You got a big TV on. The game's on, the sound's on. You can hear the neighborhood screaming, you know, when these home runs came through. We're so excited. And then I got to be honest, I left after they went up. I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. I thought maybe I was cursing it. Maybe the fact that I would not watch the last couple of runs scored by the Mets. Maybe I thought, well, if I stop watching, if I leave, maybe they'll stop. Yeah,
maybe they'll stop.
The beatings will stop. The beatings won't stop until morale improves. No, the... But I got to tell you, it has been one hell of a season. I don't watch a lot of sports or baseball, but this year I've been making a point because you know how it is, folks. We dive in and we swim in this political news cycle, and it never, ever, 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 ever ends. And so for some respite, it's nice to kind of turn the brain off and be entertained about watching some good sport. And I got to tell you, in my opinion, this is one of the most entertaining seasons I have seen. Probably some of the most baseball I've watched. In years. Yeah, so sorry to see
I mean, it was a great season.
Yes.
It was a really great season for the crew.
Yeah.
So we can't be too sad.
No, of course.
We got to celebrate the fact that we had that great season, and we're going to come back next year.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I felt bad for Euchre, though. You know, I mean, how, guys getting up there, man. You know, I was great. It was in the car yesterday after the show driving and got that chance to hear him call some of those plays. And, you know, he's getting old, man. So it won't be this year.
Right.
Maybe next year. Keep your fingers crossed. So thank you to the Brew Crew for an exciting and fun and entertaining season. Wish we could have kept it going, but yeah, you know, there's only gonna be one World Series champion.
Indeed. You know, we'll see you in April.
It comes quick.
That
it does.
We'll blink and we'll be there.
A couple of local notes. President Joe Biden visiting Milwaukee. Journal Sentinel Lawrence Andrea reporting he'll be turning to Milwaukee on Tuesday of next week to discuss his administration's progress in replacing the lead pipes. The lead pipes in Milwaukee. It is crazy.
Oh, yeah. I've got lead pipes.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Biden's expected to tout the billions of dollars the administration has directed to replacing lead pipes through the bipartisan infrastructure law, a White House official said. He'll also discuss efforts to create good-paying jobs. We don't know where the president is going to stop in Milwaukee next Tuesday, but that is the date. As noted, the lead exposure is an outsized problem in Milwaukee. The city has estimated the cost of replacing all the lead service lines on both public and private property at nearly $800 million.
Oh, that's so much money.
It is a lot of money. And this is something that we've known for a long, long time. And some of the activists I've had the pleasure to meet over the last 10 years on this topic certainly got me up to speed on the topic. And it's one of those issues that's very difficult for me to comprehend when we know the danger that these lead pipes can cause. And of course, we got the lead paint. I mean, the lead in general, and especially to the young kids and so forth, that this is still an issue that still has to be addressed. Mayor Cavalier Johnson said he wants to replace all the city's lead pipes in 20 years. I wish someone would have said that 20 years ago would be done by now.
Mm-hmm.
The Biden-Harris administration over the last few years has touted its efforts to replace lead pipes in Wisconsin's largest city and has frequently highlighted members of the community while doing so. Yes, thank you for that. The White House said the Biden administration has announced about $9 billion nationwide with over $200 million in Wisconsin to replace the lead pipes. On Tuesday, Biden will announce steps to accelerate progress towards reaching the administration's goal of replacing all lead pipes over the next 10 years, the official told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So the president out touting the bipartisan legislation.
At least we can agree that we don't want lead.
No one wants lead. Don't you want conservative kids drinking out of lead? Well, children of conservative parents.
Right.
Or children of progressive or liberal parents. Or children of independent parents. How about no children drinking out of the lead pipes?
Novel idea.
That's bipartisan, right?
We can agree.
We can all agree on that.
Thank goodness
that.
We found something.
Yes. Well, let's start there and we'll continue on. So we look forward to hosting the president in the MKE next week. Big job numbers today. And I know you got to wonder how Fox News Maria Bartiromo is going to deal with this, because usually she's, you know, a little apoplectic about these things. But CNBC reporting the U.S. job creation soared higher in September as payroll surged by over 250,000 jobs, 254,000 jobs in September, up from a revised 159,000 in August, and better than the 150,000 jobs that the Dow Jones consensus forecast. Unemployment rate fell to 4.1%, down 0.1%, as the survey of household employment showed an even stronger picture with a gain of 430,000. And I thought this was also important. Average hourly earnings increased 0.4% on the month and up 4% from a year ago. Both figures were ahead of respective estimates. Now, what's important there? Up 4% from a year ago. That's outpacing the current price increases due to the inflation. So that's good. This is good. We want this. I think everybody wants a strong economy. What else does CNBC? The upward revisions of the strength in job creation spilled over to wages, as mentioned. Increased 0.4% in the month, 4% from a year ago. Both figures ahead of the estimates of 0.3% and 3.8%. The average work week nudged lower to 34.2 hours down 0.1 hours. You know, I'm a big fan. I keep telling my wife, you know, 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. That's that's my best. That's the best I can give you. Beyond that, it gets a little, you know, diminishing returns, right, shall we say.
Right.
So the work week's at 34.2. So 254,000 jobs. Kathy Jones, the chief fixed income strategist at Charles Schwab, said this. It was a wow across the board, much stronger than expected. The bottom line is it was a very good report. You get upward revisions, and it tells you the job market continues to be healthy, and that means the economy is healthy. The stock market futures added gains following the report. My understanding, Dow at record highs after this report today. Wonder how Trump's going to say, what he's going to say about that. Restaurants. Oh,
they've already come out saying it's fake.
Well, they're coming out and saying news. It's all illegals getting the jobs. I mean, J.D. Vance. No, I'm not even kidding you. I'll find out.
Oh, I know. It's not just believing you.
I know. It's hard to believe, but I mean, it's almost like the default for the megas now. There's any issue, any concern, anything that needs to be done in the economy or in, it's tax cuts. That's their policy. Tax cuts. We got a problem with X, Y, and Z. Tax cuts. You got a problem with A, B, or C?
But who for?
Tax cuts.
Who for, Dom?
Well, I mean, you know, the majority of the tax cuts will go to those who pay the most taxes. I mean, wouldn't that make sense? The very rich. Mm-hmm. And anything bad, of course, it's all the illegal immigrants. But I digress. According to the CNBC reports, restaurants and bars led job creation for the month, with the hospitality industry adding 69,000 positions in September, after averaging just 14,000 over the 12 previous months. Healthcare, a consistent leader in job growth, contributed 45,000, while government grew by 31,000. Other gainers included social assistance at 27,000 and construction at 25,000. Yay, that's good. This is great.
Yeah, sounds like a growing building economy.
But it doesn't bode well for the politics of...
Yeah.
You know... a little bit on some of the topics here as well. I found this one, Jake Johnson from Common Dreams over at The Raw Story. A little bit on the plans here. Republican presidential nominee Trump's proposal to further reduce the U.S. corporate tax rate from 21% to 15% would make the bottom half of the nation's income distribution poorer while boosting the fortunes of those at the very top, according to an analysis published Thursday by economists at American University. Wait, what? Shocking. The analysis, released just over a month before the high-stakes November 5th election, projects the hypothetical macroeconomic and distributional impacts of corporate tax rate plans put forth by Trump and Harris. Harris has called for increase in the corporate tax rate to 28%. Now, if implemented, the economists found Trump's plan would, quote, modestly reduce the nation's gross domestic product, a decrease in the GDP, folks, decrease government revenue, and significantly increase inequality, given that wealthier households are the primary owners of corporate stocks, that would benefit from the former president's tax cuts. The share of the national income going to the top 5% would increase by about 1.6%, and the share of the bottom 50% would fall by roughly 4.8%. Now, by contrast, yeah, Harris's plan would mildly increase U.S. GDP, increase federal revenue, and decrease inequality, reducing the share of income earned by the top 5% of the distribution by about 1%, and increasing the share earned by the bottom 50% by about 4.7%. American University economists. I know those very smart people. Trust Trump. This is the Dom Salve Show. Trust us, 855-752-4842.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward. And that happens Thursday from 10:30 a.m. until 12:30. And this is a weekly event, happens each Thursday. Again, a kids movie at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library in Hayward each Thursday from 10:30 until 12:30. Community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And Egan Walkoff, urban native vote organizer for Wisconsin Conservation Voices, is going to join me in studio here in the next segment. I wanted to kind of recap, again, the numbers, the job numbers out today, 254,000 new jobs, wages increased 0.4% for the month, 4% year over year. That's outpacing inflation. That is a great number. Love to see that. Love to hear that. Everybody should want a strong economy, whether or not you're a conservative, Republican, independent, or just don't give a damn. These are good numbers, and they're higher than they were expected. I was talking about an analysis by American University looking at Trump's plan and looking at Harris's plan. I just want to reiterate some of these numbers briefly for you, and we'll move on to what J.D. Vance's analysis. I'm sure you want to know. You're very concerned. Again, from American University, Trump's plan would reduce the GDP, decrease government revenue, and increase inequality. Harris's plan would mildly raise the GDP, increase federal revenue, and decrease inequality. See what I'm saying here? As the average human being in this world, as an average citizen, what would you rather see? You want to be seeing an increase or a decrease in the GDP? You would like to see an increase in government revenue or a decrease in government revenue? Would you like to see an increase in income inequality or a decrease in that? Well, Trump's is the wrong in all those, in every single one of those topics, every single one. Now, here's the follow-up to it. The analysis came a day after the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, released their report showing the richest 1% saw their share of the nation's wealth grow to 27% between 1989 and 2022, while families in the bottom half of the distribution held just 6% of the wealth in both 89 and 22. The wealth gap that further slashing corporate taxes would exacerbate.
Mm-hmm.
That would make it worse. Now, Trump's call to reduce the corporate tax rate to 15% was the quote-unquote centerpiece of an address he delivered last month at the Economic Club of New York, Bloomberg reported at the time. When Trump took office in 2017, the corporate tax rate was 35%. Later that year, Trump and congressional Republicans ran through an unpopular tax cuts package that slashed that rate to 21% and led to a surge in tax avoidance.
Shocking.
The law has been hugely regressive, delivering major benefit to the rich and very little to the working class. I keep hearing that. Now, cutting the corporate rate to 50% would hand roughly $50 billion in annual tax cuts to the 100 largest and most profitable U.S. companies, according to the recent analysis by the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Well, it's got the word progress in it, so it sounds like a pretty liberal group. So, you know, do your own research, folks.
Don't be fooled.
But people are looking at this, and this is, you know, it wasn't just American University. I believe Vice President Harris has quoted other university studies, I believe from Wharton, where Trump went to school, his own alma mater.
He does like to say it all the time about, well, I went to Wharton.
Well, maybe you should follow their advice and take, you know, Harris's plan. But the plan is, of course, for Trump and for the Republicans in general. That's why I don't quite understand the populist appeal for a guy like Donald Trump for, you know, the lower working and blue collar and poor people out there. Donald Trump is not your ally. And you look at the specifics here as identified by the American University, Trump's plan would reduce the GDP, would increase inequality. And it's not good for working poor and lower class people, period. So if there's going to be a president out there that's going to put forth plans that will help you, well, that's Harris. Now, if you care about that. Now, J.D. Vance on Friday claimed that we should ignore the top line jobs number of 254,000 net jobs created last month on the grounds that all of them were supposedly taken by undocumented immigrants.
And from whence is he pulling this information, eh?
You know, from back over here and down over there. I think that's where it came from.
Indeed.
Kamala Harris's economy has been an unmitigated disaster for American citizens, Vance claimed on Twitter. This is what happens when you bring in 20-plus million low-wage workers through wide-open southern border. The American people get screwed while Kamala's corporate benefactors enjoy unlimited cheap labor.
Well, he knows something about corporate benefactors, doesn't he?
He certainly does. He has one of those.
He's got a couple.
And I mean, just come on, an unmitigated disaster. Look at the numbers today. Look at the job growth. Look at the wage growth outpacing the price growth. 20 million low wage workers. Now, his implication here is that all these folks came in over the last 3.5 years under the hair. Of course, it's not true, and I would doubt the number, but whatever. Okay, there's Vance just pulling things out of his ass and telling you why these numbers are terrible, why you should not believe them. Vance then cited data showing that there are currently 825,000 fewer native-born Americans employed this year than were employed last year to back up his claims. Okay, well, independently, you look at that number statically, you say, oh, man, that could be something. Maybe he's onto something.
I don't think so.
But, as University of Michigan economist Justin Wolfers wrote, Vance's claims about immigrants taking Americans' jobs don't add up, as many of those, quote-unquote, lost jobs by native-born Americans come from aging baby boomers deciding to retire.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those folks out
there. There's a lot.
In fact, noted The Economist, when you look at employment data for native-born Americans in their prime working years, the economy looks to be very strong. Here's what he wrote in response to Vance. Senator, I don't want to get caught up on facts, but the share of American-born folks in their prime working years who have jobs is higher than at any point during the Trump administration, and indeed it's the highest it's ever been since the BLS started publishing these numbers. In addition to showing the economy added more than 250,000 jobs, as mentioned, wages grew at 4%, easily outpacing the 2.5% rate of inflation. Those are good numbers.
Well, yeah.
And that's under this administration. So you can try to twist them. You can not accept them. You can do whatever about them. You can believe J.D. Vance, or you can believe the nonpartisan BLS, because this is what they do. They're the number crunchers. They're the nerds doing this, and folks are working, and they're getting paid a little bit more, and that is always a good thing, regardless of your political persuasion. Folks, thank you for listening. And Egan Waukaw, Wisconsin Conservation Voices, joining us next. He's an urban native vote organizer. We're going to talk some politics.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden plans to return to Wisconsin Tuesday. The president will talk about the billions of dollars his administration has put into replacing lead pipes. Health problems from lead pipes have been a long-standing problem in Milwaukee. Mayor Cavalier Johnson has said he wants to replace all of Milwaukee's lead pipes in 20 years. A listeria outbreak across the country is raising concerns about how deli meats are regulated. 10 people have died and at least 59 people got sick. Jovana Kovacevic is a listeria expert who says there's room for improvement.
Consumers would benefit having the ability to look openly for listeria as opposed to fearing if they find any positive what's going to happen.
People should store meat at the proper temperature and cook it thoroughly. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Burnett County deputy has received the life-saving award for his quick response to save a choking child. According to the Burnett County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Noah Barker responded to a 7-month-old child that was choking and managed to pull a large piece of plastic from the baby's throat. The baby resumed breathing normally immediately after. In a letter of commendation, Sheriff Tracy Finch praised Deputy Barker's quick, calm response and the use of his training to save the child from serious injury or worse. Northern Wisconsin residents say they've had more moose sightings than usual this year. According to Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources officials, moose sightings are pretty rare given that there's usually only a couple dozen in the state at any time. With new sightings in Washburn and Burnett counties, DNR officials say their wandering pattern is linked to their mating season from mid-September to mid-October. Officials are reminding residents to keep your distance if you do happen to catch a look at a moose. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Headed to the theaters this weekend? Here are some films you might want to see and some you might want to avoid. The sequel to Todd Phillips' The Joker, Joker Folie au Deux, hits the screen this weekend. Joaquin Phoenix is back playing the title character opposite Lady Gaga, who plays Harley Quinn. The film is much anticipated but receiving mixed reviews at about 50% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. Family drama Whitebird will also be out in wide release. The film is being called the follow-up to the best-selling book Wonder and stars Gillian Anderson and Helen Mirren. Whitebird is pulling in 85% so far on Rotten Tomatoes. And this week's dose of horror comes from the new Mel Gibson film Monster Summer. Gibson plays a retired police detective who teams up with kids at a camp to face a monstrous danger and save their island. The film has not yet been reviewed, so be warned. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and not as cold tonight, lows in the low 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, few storms possible in the late afternoon and evening. Breezy with a high in the low 70s. Cooler, breezy, and mid-50s Sunday. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be talking with Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Local 344, representing 15,000 Wisconsin workers, about their endorsement of the Harris Walls ticket.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening. Happy Friday to us all. Super jazzed to be joined by Ann Egan Walkall, Wisconsin Conservation Voices. She's the urban native vote organizer, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dom. It's great to be here.
Oh, I appreciate you coming in. It's the silly season, and it's that time to get people up and fired up and get them out to the polls. Let's talk a little bit about Wisconsin Conservation Voices, the organization. What's your mission? What's your goal, Ann?
Okay, well, I'm with Wisconsin Native Vote. Wisconsin Conservation Voices is our sister organization.
Okay.
And our mission is to combat voter disenfranchisement through voter education and voter registration with the Native American population in Wisconsin.
Excellent.
And I'm born and raised from the Menominee Reservation, and the daughter of Edith and Hillary Sparky Waka from the Menominee Reservation, and my dad was an environmentalist.
So it's in the family,
it
then.
It totally is.
You're picking
totally
up a torch and keeping going.
Exactly.
Excellent.
We love it. We love it. You know, we also work on policies that impact Native communities' access to polls as well. And we've had some incredible success in 22 and 23, for example. We increased voter turnout on the Red Cliff Reservation by 130%.
Wow.
And on my reservation, I'm happy to say, we went through the legislature first, then we worked with community organizations and members, and we did doors, you name it, and went to powwows. And we increased voter turnout there for the 2023 compared to 2019 spring election by 75%.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's a lot of work, but it's purposeful and it's from the heart.
Now, is this a nonpartisan organization?
Yes.
The whole point is to get people just engaged and out to vote.
That's exactly it. We just want to get them the tools so they can register, they know where to go, they know how to get absentee ballots, what IDs they bring. And it's real exciting. I've been with Wisconsin Native Vote for 2 years, and people are coming to us. And I've lived and worked in Milwaukee since I left the reservation. I went to Marquette, worked at the Milwaukee Sentinel for eight years.
I saw that. You are a journalism major.
Yeah.
Huh? All right.
Isn't that wild? That's why we work well together.
That's right.
And then I worked for the Teachers Union, WEAT,
okay,
for 27 years. And then I'm on the boards of several organizations. I was with the Indian Community School of Milwaukee when they moved from downtown to Franklin. And also now I'm on the board for the Gerald L. Ignace Indian Health Center. So I've always felt like I wanted to give to my people.
Yeah.
Now I get to do it. This has been my dream. It's like I feel like I've been working towards this position I have now since I left my reservation.
And what are the biggest hangups or gaps your experience has been with getting people out to vote? What do you think the most challenging part of that has been?
The biggest challenge has been people don't think their vote matters.
Really? Just
yeah, we've had the vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And we've had the vote for 100 years, but some states didn't get it until 1976 for the Native American people. So our people don't feel like their voice matters, but they're starting to see that it does, especially with Mother Earth, because Mother Earth is quite ill right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of discussions about that. In fact, an elder told me Mother Earth is sick. She's throwing up. And then a teen from Marquette told me, she said, Mother Earth is ill. She's got a fever. And then we were having an event at GLIC, the Gerald L. Ignace Indian Health Center, and a client said, Mother Earth is on menopause. She doesn't know what to do. So we use humor a lot in what we do.
Yeah.
But also there are barriers. For example, to register, you can't have a P.O. box. You have to have an address. Well, I grew up with a P.O. box on the reservation. So there are ways around that, and we're working with the Elections Commission and Native American Rights Fund. So we work to get every single person we can to vote because it really matters. Because like a presidential elections have been won in Wisconsin or lost by 1%,
which is
about 20,000 votes. And it's estimated that there are about 70,000 Natives who are eligible to vote.
Ann Egan Walkoff from, she's the urban organizer with Wisconsin Native Vote. You know, I grew up out in the country. Route 1, Box 31 was our address. Of course, we didn't live in the box, but that was the thing. How do you practically overcome something like that? What's the answer for folks?
Well, there are a variety of ways. For example, I'll give you an example of Milwaukee. Okay, Milwaukee, we've got a homeless population.
Sure.
Okay, Natives. So if they are patients at the Gerald L. Ignace Indian Health Center, what we can do is send them a letter on our letterhead addressed to them at the health center, and that can be considered their residence, and that's considered their place of registration.
Okay.
And we're just still working with the Elections Commission because there's sometimes we just don't know. We're trying to combat that box, P.O. box.
Yeah.
We had that on the reservation.
Yeah.
And tribal IDs work now, and they didn't used to. And I can tell you a story about why I love what I do.
Please.
Passionate. I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee, and I went to register. And the woman was like, okay, name, birth date. Okay, current address. Where were you born? I said, Menominee Reservation. And she said, you're Indian? I go, yes, I am. And she was just, Indians don't vote. You're not, you can't vote.
What?
Yeah.
What?
20 years ago.
Wow.
And I know. And I said, ma'am, I can vote. I've voted before. I remember this like it was yesterday. You've voted before? I go, yes, ma'am, I have. I said, I'm from Wisconsin, Menominee Reservation, which is also a county. Yeah, I'm a citizen of Wisconsin and I'm the United States. She said, you can't vote. Indians can't vote. So she went up to the head of the poll there and I saw her get a little discussion with the person. And she came back and she said, ma'am, I wasn't being racist. I was following policy.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where to go on that one. 20 years ago. And then this is a poll worker, a trained poll worker in suburban Milwaukee, not that long ago.
And she was an elder. So I'm going to give her this, is that she might have remembered when we didn't have the votes at that time.
Yeah.
So I'll say that. But people would have walked away. So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans and I sense that they're just kind of not really interested, I tell them that story and they're like, what? And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go vote for sure.
Absolutely. Just because of that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And how's it, what's your experience been like with the Wisconsin Elections Commission trying to get answers and trying to, you know, help facilitate the folks getting ready and registered to vote?
They are so welcoming and they really want to work with us. Angelique Bajin is my colleague and the director of our civic engagement. So she's working with them constantly and trying to figure out ways around these barriers. And also we have the Native American Rights Fund working with us as well. So like on the election day, we'll have people out at polls ready to see if there's any problems and we can call them or they'll be there and they'll start. We'll figure out ways to get people to vote because we had an incident in the spring of 2023 where a tribal member was told she wasn't registered and she was. Mm. And they kept saying, no, you're not. She goes, I'm registered. And they argued with her and she said, I am registered. We ended up, NARF came in, ended up, long story short, that clerk had to apologize in a letter in the newspaper for that incident.
Really?
Yes. And people sometimes are afraid to go to the polls given the location. So, for example, if it's near a police agency, sheriff's agency, someone who may have been arrested may think I can't vote anymore, but they can.
Yeah.
So what we do is we educate, and the best way is one-on-one. So I told you, I go to a lot of events. We go to powwows constantly. We recently had a baseball game on August 15th, and a donor, an anonymous donor, gave us 1,000 tickets. And nice. I was just going to ask for a couple hundred, and she gave me 1,000. Like, I was starting to cry.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So what happened was we got Indians from across the state, Native Americans from all 11 tribes coming in, kids who never had a chance to go to a game. They came in, and they got to go to the game. We had a tailgate. We had speakers. And we had color guards of veterans who represented each tribe in the state come in. And they carried their tribal flags. And then we had a traditional drum, Smoky Town, which is known throughout the country. And so they were at the tailgate as well. But then, this is the best part, they got on the field. And the native song was played, the flag song. And then the color guard came out. And I still have people telling me that the pride that was felt in that audience. And it wasn't just natives, it was everybody. The pride in their country. And one of the flag carriers from Oneida, Carrie Matoxin, said, you know, it was an amazing feeling and humbling. And even seeing the Brewers stand at attention was just wonderful. So then the fun part was I got to throw out the first pitch that day.
All right. Did you get across the plate?
Did you get it over?
I got it over. Yeah. I did. But here's a secret. Don't tell anybody. I only went halfway and no one noticed that.
That doesn't matter. You got it over the plate.
Yeah. And then this little kid came up to me. Did you throw out that pitch? I said, yeah. He goes, good job. And he high-fived me. And people were saying, good job. And then when I left, I high-fived all the Brewers.
Yeah.
And I wasn't supposed to, but I still did. But it was fun.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Ann Egan, Waukau, Wisconsin native vote urban organizer, joining me in studio. You said the best way to get people up to speed with how it all works is one-on-one. That's very time-consuming, right?
It is, and that's what we do. See, now you've got people coming in, you want to work on getting our people to the polls. People are coming in now. We do this 24/7, 365 days a year. And people are now asking me to come in, where I've been pushing to get in. For example, the Indian Council of the Elderly in Milwaukee asked me to come in and do a training and voter registration, absentee ballot requests, the whole gamut. And I'm going to be doing that on Friday of next week. And then the book club at the Her Wellness Center, which is a behavioral health center. They treat our Native people with traditional medicines. And okay. I'm going to a book club that day. And also I'm going to be able to walk people to early voting from Glick, which is next door. So, you know, one-on-one is the key. It's time-consuming. Yeah, it's draining, but I get energy from people, so for me, it works out well.
Very rewarding.
It really is. It is, and we've done so many different things across the state. We've done. We're going to be doing some 3-on-3 basketball tournaments and getting some murals painted on some school gyms. And we had a big mural painted and commissioned for the Gerald L. Ignace Indian Health Center. It's huge, and that was commissioned by a Christopher Sweet and a Ho-Chunk native, and he is known throughout the country, and it's up, and we got a lot of publicity, and we got a lot of people there.
That's great.
It was wonderful. Yeah. Just and the powwows. Come to Hunting Moon Powwow. It's October 18th, 19th, 20th. Come join me for a bit and sit with us. We have a blast talking to people, and I see the change. People are more interested now. When I was at an event over the summer, and someone came up right away, a Native American woman said, "Okay, register me." You know, isn't that a great change?
Yeah, exactly.
And we have organizers throughout the state. Now we have someone in the Bad River area and in the Menominee area.
I was going to say, how many people do you have in this effort organized to try to get people out to vote?
There are four of us.
Okay.
And some are part-time, but everyone works. Like I said, it's purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see my colleagues, it's so wonderful because we don't get to see each other much because we're so busy. But when we get together, we just have a blast.
Yeah. Yeah.
We call it the vote squad, the Native vote squad.
And are there, besides like the P.O. box issue, any other like very, specific Native American challenges in getting registered to vote and engaging in the process?
Well, transportation could be a problem as well.
Yeah.
Because we're not like out west where it's so far, but that's a big issue. But again, making sure they're registered and making sure they accept our form of ID. Because at one point, tribal IDs weren't taken, and they are now. And when I went to vote last spring in my polling area, and I showed her my tribal ID, and I went through, and that was not a problem, and I told her my story about my first experience, she said, "Well, we've grown a lot since then." And then she said, an 18-year-old kid from the Nicolet High School, where the polling area was, said, I just turned 18. I want to vote. How much does it cost?" We got to work.
We have a lot of work to do.
We're working with high school kids as well. I recently worked with some MPS students and got them registered, and they're just exciting. We're also looking for poll workers for like Milwaukee, especially because they have about 2,000 poll workers that they need. So I'm going to volunteer. So if anyone, I talked to Tom Fleisham Jr. from Waco Company. He's the CEO, and I didn't know that at the time. And he said, if anyone questions the validity and of our polls and our voters in the ballot, they should go work as a poll worker because then they'll see how strong and solid our process is.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be volunteering in Milwaukee for sure.
Excellent. Ann Egan Waukau, you want to stick around for a little bit more?
Sure.
We've got a few more things to talk about here on the Dom Salvi Show. Appreciate you coming around. I'm very curious about the journalism background.
Sure.
Poke into that a little bit. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Got a great guest in here, Ann Egan Waukau, the Wisconsin Native Vote urban organizer. She can stick around for a little bit more. Take your calls as well, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that.
Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. And Egan Walkaw, Wisconsin native vote urban organizer, sticking around for one more second. And thank you for doing so.
You're welcome.
One thing, a little personal story, or the first time I went to vote, it was kind of intimidating. I mean, I was young. I wasn't always an upstanding citizen, you know what I mean? So here I am putting myself out there and going and doing this. And I thought it was kind of an intimidating experience for me. Now, obviously, all these years later, it's not that. But do you find that some folks are concerned about, putting their name on the dotted line and going in? Is this really a secret ballot? Are they going to, those kinds of things. As you mentioned, the 18-year-old kid saying, how much does it cost?
Right.
I mean,
right.
There used to be poll taxes. That's not a thing anymore, thankfully. But is that uncommon to your experience?
I hear it every now and then. It's not uncommon, but it's not common either. Because I had a woman yesterday, I was registering, and she said, I really don't like putting my stuff out on outside on the line, online. Mm-hmm. And I told her, it's fine. It's very, very confidential and private. And I even admit, when I go, I get a little nervous to make sure I do it right. Yeah. Even now, I still get nervous. Imagine that. So I take a sample ballot, like when I go to the elders and with them on Friday.
Yeah.
I have a sample ballot that I can show them. It makes it a lot easier.
It certainly does. So they know what they're going to get into. They see this thing on there. I think that's certainly important. Your background in journalism, though, how did you end up in this role coming from a journalism degree at Marquette?
Well, first off, when I was going to go to Marquette, I was told by my teacher, Indians don't go to Marquette and graduate.
Yeah, people have all sorts of ideas about what Indians should and shouldn't be doing,
exactly.
Right?
So I said, well, I'm going to go. So I went. Well, I graduated too. And then when I was in the journalism class, the first one with like 200 kids, out of you, only 15% will graduate and only 1% of you will get a job at a newspaper. I thought, okay, well, what am I doing here with all these rich kids?
Right.
I got two pairs of jeans and three sweaters. What am I going to do? Well, I kept through and I persevered, I guess. That's what my son said. Mom, you just took opportunities and persevered.
Yeah.
And then I got, I worked as a copy kid at the Milwaukee Sentinel. And then they hired me out of the goodwill of their heart because I was so green. But in retrospect, everybody was green. And someone even said, you got hired because you were red. I said, you know what? I'm hired. That's okay.
A DEI employee, huh?
Exactly, exactly. Uh-huh. But it was the most wonderful experience because if you can do the newsroom, you can do anything.
Yeah.
And I went in there with the idea of getting some kind of a skill so I could work with my people. Like I said, my father was an environmentalist. He fought to have the Wolf River dedicated as a pristine river so it's protected. He fought a nuclear waste dump site on the Menominee Reservation. He fought Exxon mine. So 2 weeks before he passed away, he led a march. So he passed that on to me.
Wow.
And he taught me never let being an Indian be a reason to get something or not to do something. So that's how I've lived my life. I've had a real good role model in my father.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And a lot of support from my tribal people. You know, it's wonderful to go home. Annie, you're home.
Yeah,
wow.
The community. You know, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of what it's all about. And let me ask you, a lot of discussion in the news and politically lately on election integrity and all those kinds of things. When you're signing people up, how are they feeling about how the elections work in Wisconsin? Are they curious? Are they confident? Are they aware of the quote-unquote controversies surrounding these last couple elections?
The discussions I've had with people, they're a little bit aware, but they know that their vote matters and that Mother Earth really needs the vote. She's very ill, and we have to protect her. And we've done a lot of projects with Wisconsin Native Vote. For example, we had a lobby day, and we brought some kids from the Menominee Reservation down from there were the seventh, eighth graders from a tribal school.
Yeah.
And they came down to lobby for $400,000 in the governor's budget.
Like down to the Capitol?
And yes, down to the Capitol. Yeah, they were in the Capitol. They were like, wow.
Yeah,
I remember my
first
experience.
Time. Yeah, that's great.
And they had a great time, and they lobbied, and they even talked to the Representative Mirsa, who was their rep there. And it was a wonderful experience. I was really proud of those kids. And they had their traditional regalia on. Some had skirts, urban shirts, and they had signs, Save Our Water. Then they decided to stand along the sidewalk and hold their signs up, and cars were beeping. And they just had a great time. Yeah. And what an experience for those kids.
Absolutely.
We have to start. And we say vote for the seventh generation. We have to work for the seventh generation. That means work for the generation now so that they can take it and work for their next seven generations.
And is the engagement, is that the cure?
The cure is the engagement, the one-on-ones, being out there, being accessible, being willing to go out and meet. I never turn down a chance to go and meet with people. In fact, in Ho-Chunk, we're planning a galaxy bingo night. So we're going to get, glow-in-the-dark daughters, blotters and all that stuff and have a fun old night. You know, whatever it takes, we'll do it. We've had legislative dinners. We have gone to health fairs. Like I said, we go to powwows, which is one of the best places to go because that's where people were looking for us, actually, over the summer.
Yeah. Excellent. Ann Egan Walker, Wisconsin Native Vote Urban Organizer, a Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. Appreciate you coming around here. If people want to find out more about this, I know everyone's always looking for volunteers. If you want to get people involved, how would they go about doing so?
Well, if they want to go to our website, we've got all kinds of resources for how to vote, what you need, your voter information. It's conservationvoices.org/VOTE.
Conservation Voices.
I remember that. I was like,
/VOTE, conservationvoices.org. You can start there and find it. Ann, thank you so much for coming around and sharing your stories with us. And good luck this election season. We appreciate what you're doing.
You're very welcome, and we appreciate the time. It means a lot.
It is our pleasure anytime.
In my language, Waiwanan.
Waiwanan.
Waiwanan. Thank you. And Skavotan.
Skavotan. Thank you, Ann. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. We'll be back in the next Happier Happy Hour with more of your calls, 855-752-4842. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack at 5:30 as well.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, National Security Leaders for America member Randy Manner joins us at 10:33 to talk about Project 2025. Pam Yonke in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and